Greetings, everybody, and welcome to a new edition of the Pulling on Heaven podcast with Pastor Gary Zamora. How are you, Pastor?
Doing great, Steve. How are you today?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm really excited about what we're going to be talking about today, and I think everyone watching this is a really cool conversation. Very deep, not deep because we're deep, but the subject matter is deep, and I think it's important, and at some level too, like so many things we talk about, it all kind of comes full circle. And it's really all about who he is in us at the end of the day.
Yeah, at the end of the day, it's all about seek first the kingdom of God. And, you know, you say, well, what is that? What is the kingdom of God? Is it like a place? Oh, it could be a place. You know, it could be, you know, is it a dimension? It'd be in a dimension. But Jesus said the kingdom of God is here right now when he was on the earth. He said, This is the kingdom of God is within you. So, I mean, does God like stuff this mini kingdom inside of us? Like, is there a little kingdom, as you mentioned earlier, a little Lego kingdom that's built on the inside? Or what does the kingdom of God look like? And the kingdom of God is the realm of a king, which literally means the kingdom will look like the mind of the king.
Yeah.
You know, because the king's going to make determinations on structures and everyone employed within the kingdom based on how he thinks. So the kingdom of God is the mind of God.
Yeah.
And God's saying, Christ is saying, his mind, his word, his spirit is within you. The kingdom of heaven is within you. And how many dimensions and dynamics and glories can the kingdom of God take on? Well, endless. I mean, you know, just as an individual, you know, you can wear your hoodie and your shirt one day, and you might be out in shorts on the beach the next day, and then in your scuba stuff, you know, or in an airplane with a parachute. I mean, we can show up in a lot of different clothes and a lot of different presentations, but the glory of God is endless. So there's no end to the kingdom of God on the inside of us, but that is where God says it is. And Jesus said, if you look any place else, you're not going to find it, which opens up a really big door to a lot of pretty amazing conversations. So, yeah.
Well, and that idea that you've been talking about a lot of Jesus, see me seeing you in me. Oh. And that idea of, like you said, we could look all over the place for God. We could look for him to appear on the clouds. We could look for him to appear someplace else or in somebody else. But, you know, the biggest challenge, not challenge because it's difficult, challenge because of how we've been kind of trained to think, is seeing him in us.
Yeah. And well, you know, that requires what Jesus said. He said, if you're going to follow me, you have to lay down your life and follow me. It's not an ambiguous term to say I'm born again. You know, it's not this complicated mathematical equation of born again. It's just very simple. You die to who you were, and Christ is born in you. We have that example every time we plant a seed in the soil. You know, you plant a seed in the soil, you can't see it, it disappears. Is it there? Well, it's under the soil. How do you know? Well, because I put it there, you know, and well, but you can't see it right now, but it's there. Just have faith. I put it there. It's going to stay there. When God puts his word in you, it's going to stay there. And the power of a seed is its memory. But what causes it to remember is that it dies to itself. And what does a seed remember? Where it came from.
Yeah.
And what does it turn into? Where it came from. If it's a tomato seed, it's going to be a tomato or watermelon. It's same with us. Where do we come from? We came from the mind of God. We came from the kingdom of God. And that kingdom dwells within us. And when we receive Christ as Lord of our lives, he fills us. He transforms us. The old is passed away, scriptures say. Behold, all becomes new. Behold means look. So check it out. Behold, I'm new. I have become anew. If we'd learn to live more by faith, which is what we're commanded by the word of God to do, then we can see a lot more of God in us and a lot more of the kingdom of God. And then the question would be, well, how do you see it? So that's another question.
Yeah, it is. Well, and we were discussing earlier, and what kind of started us down this path is I brought up, in light of the idea of seeing him in us and what that means, and what that means for us and our role in the earth, and what it looks like for that kingdom to take dominion and for us to take dominion in the earth. And I was sharing about how, like, sometimes I'll be walking around praying for people that I know, whether it's just family because I'm praying for them all the time, or friends, or someone going through something. And sometimes it can feel like, I was saying, sometimes it can feel like we're reminding God about them, where there's almost this presumptuousness without even trying to, not trying to go there, but it's like, Lord, I lift this person up. They're going through such a hard time. Would you please be with them? Would you please be with them? He's he's never not with them.
Right.
You know, and it's almost, there's like this out of our own ignorance sometimes, but there's this presumptuousness sometimes that we need to remind God of something. And it started me realizing, well, wait a minute, that can't be true, because God's gonna love that person far more than I could ever love that person. God knows what that person needs before they need it. So why is it taking me to ask God to say that? And then you start going, okay, but if he's inside me, maybe there's more to this. Now, I can't go help every single person that I might pray for because of a whole bunch of reasons. I might not have the resources. I might not be close to them. I might not be whatever.
They may not want it.
They may not want it. But that still changes the perspective of how much of the things that we pray for, that we pray God to do.
Right.
Not that we're the answer in the world because God doesn't do things, but God does, you see all the time, that God wants to do through us.
Yeah.
And you talk about the idea of, you know, it's the time of Joseph, it's the time of Abraham, it's the time of Moses. God doesn't seem very often to just cause changes like almost a magic wand to happen. Things that cause amazing things that God does in the earth, he does it through people.
Yeah, well, very true. He could have done that with Moses when he sent Moses in to set the people free, let the people go. And I said this the other day, Pharaoh didn't have the power to set the people free. He only had the power to let them go.
Right.
Because only God can set you free. Whom the Son has made free is free indeed. But the whole idea of Moses, when God sends him into Egypt to Pharaoh to tell him, God wants you to let his people go. God used what Moses had in his hand, which was a staff. Now, think about it. Come on. God has made himself known on the mountaintop, in the cloud, in the heavens. When he spoke, you know, the angel of the Lord descends, and visions and dreams, and the audible voice of God that the prophet hears, and it was in the still, small voice. So God can make himself known. God could thunder out of heaven. He could say anything. He could do anything. He could have went into Egypt and just do the last plague, if you were, you know, as it were.
From the beginning.
Yeah. Just going and did he, I mean, he didn't necessarily, why did he want, you know, why did he bring Moses into the equation? You know, Moses was being hunted down, you know, by the Egyptians for killing an Egyptian. So he was out of dodge. He didn't want to be there anymore. But he had a heart for his people. He had a heart for the people. And that's a big part of it. He had a heart for the people. So God tells Moses, asks him, what's in your hand? And he says, a staff. And he throws it down on the ground, and it turns into something that terrifies Moses. And a lot of times that happens in our lives. You know, God says, what's in your hand? And God says, I'm going to use that. You know, just release it and watch me do a change. And when God begins to create that change, if we don't like it or it's intimidating, we jump back and we're afraid of it, thinking, you know, what's going on here? But God told Moses something different. He said, I want you to pick it up now, because it's something different on the ground when I tell you to do it than it is in your hand because you want it. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so when he threw it on the ground, because God said, it became something fearful. And then Moses had to take another step, which was to believe God that it was going to be all right if he picked that serpent up with his own hand. And that was another act of the word of the Lord. So it's the word of God in our mouths, which is agreement with the Father. Yeah. And that's where the power is.
Yeah.
Because he chose to use Moses as a vessel, as opposed to just going into Egypt and thundering out of the heavens and every firstborn being done and God saying, let my people go, or this is going to happen to you. You know, he could have said anything. But he chose a man because he wants us to come into agreement with him, and it goes right back to the same foundational, fundamental nature of who Christ in us is. He's love, he's joy, it's the hope of glory. God wants to share his nature, and when we pray for someone, what we're actually doing is coming into agreement with God, not necessarily that person. We're caring for that person,
yeah,
but we're coming into agreement with the Father. God's word created all things. The word says, through Christ, who is called the word of God, all things were created, and without him there wasn't anything that was created. So it's the same today. And those laws, those dynamics have not changed. But we become the vessel of the spoken word of God. And we, when we pray for one another or pray for someone, it's not that we need to remind God. And I agree with you. I've thought the same thing back in the day before God opened my heart to, what are you doing? Why am I, like, did you forget them? Of course you didn't. I mean, if you forgot them, what if you forget me? What if you're not listening to me right now? So what good is this prayer? But to be mindful that God is always mindful. But what he wants is, he wants us to come into agreement with us. That's why he spoke to Moses. He wanted Moses to believe his word. Yeah. He wanted Abraham to believe his word. Abraham became a nation before he ever had Isaac. And he did it by his faith. The word says his faith, not his son, his faith became his righteousness before God. Faith in what? Faith in the word of God. Not faith that he gave him a son. And as we were talking in one of the podcasts, and then down the road, we hear the word saying, Jesus saying, the seed, Isaac, was not really one, it was not nations. It wasn't one man becoming many nations. It was many nations knowing one man, and that man is Christ. That seed is Christ. And then, as you said again earlier or later, then that one seed became many seeds. So it's all about God bringing everything into the unity of his will so he can share who he is. He wants us to pray because he wants us to come in agreement with him, not necessarily that we're agreeing with one another. Well, if two or three gather together and agree what? In his name, what? That he is God present with us and his perfect will is going to be done. He's the healer. He's the deliverer. He's the God of joy and peace and strength. And he's the God of all great and mighty things. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variation, neither shadow of turning. So we don't have to remind God. Like you said, we're not reminding God. We're coming into agreement with heaven. We're coming into agreement with the kingdom of God. And God's word in us is a force that there is no equal to. That's why the word says, when a person's ways please the Lord, how do we do it? By faith. He makes even his enemies to be at peace with him.
Yeah. Well, that sounds like it goes back to, we were talking about the idea of, like, God says, I will do no new thing in the earth unless I share it through my servants, the prophets. Yeah. And that agreement. And it also makes me think about a lot of times you talk about, you know, about making heaven restless, because there's something about it feels the point of our lives on earth beyond anything that we think that what it is.
Yeah.
And I think that it has something to do with God reproducing himself.
Is exactly what
in
the earth.
What he did in Christ, in that in which Christ was fully him, was, now I'm going to reproduce myself in all of you.
That's what he did.
That takes agreement.
That's what he did. Christ was man indwelt by God.
Yeah.
And that's who we are. We are man indwelt by God. And it's endless, because here's the thing. How would God make his glory known? I mean, in the wilderness, he did it. The word says he did mighty works and miracles that no one had ever seen before. But they all fell away anyway. You know, all the signs and the wonders they saw, it didn't turn their heart. As a matter of fact, when they heard God speak, instead of running, you know, to the mountain and hitting their knees and going on their face, because of their heart, they were commanded to stay away from the mountain. And they wanted to hide. They wanted Moses to tell them what God said. God didn't want it that way. God wants that intimate relationship. He wants that fellowship with us. He wants us to know who he is. He wants us to know what it feels like to have God dwelling on the inside of us.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted Moses to know what the staff of God, not the staff of Moses, but what the staff of God felt like in his hand. And it was through the staff of God that Moses was able to go in and do all the wonders that God commanded Moses to do. But again, commanded, what do you mean? He gave him his word, and the faith of Moses in God, the Moses' faith in God, made or created or opened the avenue, revealed the glory of God. How is God revealed? Through our faith. Faith is it has to be the greatest gift that there is. Because we receive the greatest gift, the Holy Spirit, through what? Faith. It's that continuity, that conduit. It's that electrical cord, you know, it's that, it's that extension between God and man. And it's not that there is a distance, because he's ever present with us. It's not the extension cord that's connecting God from heaven to man on earth. It's God being revealed in the earth. Remember, the word of the Lord, the word says, run to and fro in the earth. The Holy Spirit dwells among us. He's with us right here in the earth. But it's really that connection, that kingdom. We need to take on the mind, the kingdom of God, the mind of God, where we realize, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I really, really can. Because if God can do it and he can do all things, he can do it through me.
Yeah.
And he does it through my faith. How does God make himself known? How does God reveal himself? Through your faith. Through your faith. Jesus even said it like this. He said, it is really important that I go now in the form that you see me. Because he said, I'm going to pray the Father. Now, did he have to go to God and say, God, listen, I'm telling you, they're a mess down there, you know? They just really... really need intervention.
I know you're not really thinking about them. You're thinking about other stuff.
Exactly. I know you've forgotten about them, even though I'm here and I'm doing your will, because I am your will. But I just want to remind you, that's not what he was saying. He said, I'm going to go in agreement with the Father. And he said, I'm going to leave in this appearance, this glory that you see me now. And it's essential that I do it so you receive the internal glory. God is not only eternal. He's not only an eternal God. He is an internal God, and that's how he makes himself known, is through our faith, because again, God is love, and when he makes himself known through our faith, we get to share in his favor, his love, his glory, his honor. You know, people have a tendency to think of God in this glory, in this distant, and all that's his glory. That's why he wants us to worship and praise him. Do you really think he needs anything from us? Do we have anything to offer him that's like where God would say, oh man, I really needed that. It really helps me feel better. No, he is the fullness of all things. What he needs is to love. And when you love, you give someone all that you have. And that's who he is. And that's what he's done. He's given it all to us. He wants it to dwell on the inside so it doesn't come at us.
Yeah.
It's not around us. It comes through us. When he made man, he said, let's make him in our image and make them in our likeness so they know what it feels like to be indwelt by God. And that's who Christ in us is.
Because today, everything from God, if he wants us to understand his nature, everything from God has to come from within God.
Within God.
Because there's nothing outside of God, so he didn't take anything to make anything. It all came from within him, and he wants us to understand that. And I was just thinking, it was this kind of blow-mind revelation just as you were talking about that and saying it's an eternal kingdom, but it's also an internal kingdom. And I think about, you know, the wonders that Moses did with Pharaoh and all these things, and then the part in the Red Sea and all the plagues and all the great supernatural things that happened that, you know, showed that God was God and the miraculous and all that kind of stuff. Well, and they were living under an external covenant.
Yes, they lived under
a covenant where they had to obey certain rules, they had to follow certain things, they had to do something. And so everything was about the external. And so the miraculous was the external. But Jesus came with a new covenant, said, I'm going to write my laws on your heart. I'm going to be inside of you. So therefore, we want to see all these miracles on the outside. But I think most of the miracles that need to take place and can and will in empowering us are the miracles that take place on the inside.
Because those are eternal, because they're internal. And it's not like God explains himself to us. I mean, he demonstrated all these wonders in the wilderness. It didn't change a lot of their minds. Most of them all died in disobedience.
Yeah.
So it's not what
doesn't
we
sustain.
See. It's by faith. Jesus said to Thomas, you touch, you believe, but you believe because you saw. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. And that's what we have to do. We have to know that it's not what we see God explain to us. It's how we know him, because he's revealed through us.
Yeah.
So God can't be explained. He's not a God that you can sit down with someone and explain. You can bear witness to the reality of God that's in you. You can talk about the revelation of who he is in you. But that revelation has to be quickened by the Holy Spirit in an individual, because only God can reveal himself. We can't explain God.
No.
Only God, if you will, can explain God. And that's not an exterior thing that happens where our brain sits there and calculates and says, that makes sense, I've got it, because God is beyond the common sense, irrational capabilities of mankind and of his mind and his ability to figure things out. He is eternal and internal, and it is through our faith. Our faith is necessary. God deemed it this way. Our faith is necessary to the kingdom of God, so God's kingdom is revealed. So the moment that you again express your faith and you don't see what you wanted to happen, don't be discouraged. You just did something that is paramount to our existence. You just believed God. You acted on faith, so something happened. You fulfilled the word of the Lord, for it is written, the just shall live by faith. You just fulfilled scripture, so how can you say nothing happened? Maybe what you were looking for didn't happen at that time, and maybe it will, or maybe it'll happen in some totally different way, but something most assuredly will happen every time and any time you believe the word of God and you actuate, you exercise your faith towards him.
Yeah.
Every time.
Well, and so many times I think at least I think for myself, I think other people do too, that utilizing our faith a lot of times is about asking God for something
that we think we need.
That we think we need, and believing that God's going to give it to us,
yeah,
or provide it. And sometimes it's a good thing. I mean, look, if you've lost your job, you need a job, and you're gonna say, God, I need a job. I'm gonna use my faith to give me a job. But at the same point, it's like if he's in us, maybe the true sense of seeing him inside of me is not thinking, and I got to be careful here because I don't even know how to articulate in a way that doesn't sound, but not thinking I need to ask him to get me to this place, but knowing he's inside of me, so he's taking me to that place.
Yeah.
You know, whereas it becomes that Jesus certainly prayed to the Father, but you said it was like a prayer of agreement. I don't remember just off the top of my head thinking that he asked for this healing to happen for someone, or the disciples, they, you know, when they went to Peter and they said, well, silver and gold have I none, but what I do have, I give you, get up and walk. He didn't sit there and ask for that. He expressed who God was already inside of him. And that was the representation of his faith.
Yeah. I think a good example of that is Lazarus. Jesus says, Father, I know you can do this. So I'm not speaking right now because you and I need to hear it, but for the people's sake.
Yeah.
Lazarus, come forth. So again, it's Moses. What held him up was, God, I don't feel qualified. I don't feel ready. I'm not eloquent at speech. I'm not a good speaker. You know, I'm going before Pharaoh, and it seems like you need to send somebody that can communicate a little better than I can. So maybe, you know, somebody else. And the word says the Lord was angered because of his doubt of who Christ in us is. You don't have to be anything special to be special, because mm-hmm. God created you, and that's special. And the specialness of who Christ in you is we're elevated, and it's expressed when we say, God, we're going. All God wanted Moses to do was say, you said it, God. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Let's go. But what held him up was that he doubted that he was the vessel for the job. You're the vessel for the job. You're the vessel for the job. Mm. Wherever God has positioned you, whatever God is saying to you, whatever God has put in your heart, just say, Father, like Jesus did, not my will, your will be done. And guess what? God will do it. He will honor your prayer because you're praying according to the will of God. And then watch for the mystery. Watch for the treasure hunt to unfold. Watch and see what God reveals through your faith that he's given to you, because he's given you exactly what you need. He's given to every person the measure of faith required to believe God. And I say it all the time, there's one thing and only one thing we really need to do. If there was this gift you could open and there's just one thing, one secret to life, believe God. Not just believe in him, believe him. What he says is the way it is, and then just walk in it and see what God unfolds. It's going to be an incredible journey.
Oh, man. I enjoyed going on this journey with you, Pastor. Thanks so much. And enjoying now going on the journey with all you. And continue to tune in. We hope you guys have the greatest season of your lives. Thanks so much.